June 25, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back. Well, how I got into music?
Well, here we go. Well, for Pedro show, Brother Matt Indisposed, but totally not man alone here in Pedro, because through the geniuses, engineers over there in Estonia with their Skype software, I'm on the horn here with Jerry Smiley, Black Lips.
Yep.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Jerry. Jerry, what's your earliest music recollection?
Being in church, my dad and my grandfather, people did storage and work in the house. All the men in my family were preachers. Well, women too, but they usually live praise and worship. But I grew up in a gospel church, singing on stage. So that's when I was. That's the first I remember. My grandmother played the organ. My dad, he was a praise leader. So
on the stage. Yeah. So you weren't like in the choir or pews or whatever.
I was on stage from before I can remember.
That's a trip. Well, I know a lot of rock and roll comes out of church singing in the old days.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I should say what we played. We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Jupiter and Black Lips with Overture from their brand new album. Okay, so real, because you're in church and stuff and getting in the spirit and letting loose, right? So I could see that translating to rock and roll down the road. No problem.
Well, it was one of those crazy churches where everyone spoke in tongues and there's people would pass out and have seizures. And I just remember when I started getting into rock and roll, I was like, if I could translate even a fraction of this to like a secular rock and roll show, then that'd be a good step.
Yeah, I remember, I was a boy in Virginia and there was a church nearby like this and people almost falling out the window. She called them holy rollers.
Oh, yeah. You definitely were those.
Okay. What about at home? Was there instruments like in the living room? You said your mom was an organ player, but that's probably in church, right?
Yeah, we always had a piano at home and a lot of guitars around. My dad was always, and saxophone, but I remember trying to pick up saxophone, but I just never felt it.
Well, what about, did they want you to play piano because there was one in the house, so I'd take piano lessons?
I wish. See, my parents got divorced and my mom hated the whole church thing.
Ah.
So my two younger brothers who grew up in my dad's house, they're both like session level players. I had to teach myself. My mom wanted me to play sports to spite my dad.
Okay. That's a trip. Do you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
I can't really. I think it was probably that Beatles, the greatest hits, the red and blue one.
The anthologies, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was my first one, like, when I got, like, my dad took us, there was this record store called Turtles in Atlanta, and you get Turtles tokens, and I think that was what I got.
Do you remember the first gig you went to?
Yeah, it was just some local punk bands. It was at this, like, there was this Christian punk club in Atlanta called the Pterodactyl Club, and, they sold soda, and it was, like, kind of pop punk bands.
There was a Pterodactyl in, I think, Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was that one, like, straight-edge Christian kind of thing?
But no, it wasn't. It's kind of fucked up. It was more of the older days in the 80s. I think so, if I remember. But Atlanta goes way back. I mean, 688, I don't know if you remember that stuff.
But. Yeah, I mean, I missed that by a few years, but, I mean, I always hear the stories about it, and that was kind of like the legendary one.
Right. The cat went on to make something called Metroplex, I think, after that.
Yeah, there's Metroplex.
Yeah.
I also missed that by a couple of years.
That's okay. No wine before it's time, right? So that's just a circumstance when you come around and stuff. But I'm trying to think in my mind, so many different paths in Atlanta. It's gone through so many things. And, I mean, as a town even.
It's crazy how much it's...
Like Expando, changed. Right?
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, if I bought my house when it was real cheap to buy, and now I would definitely not be able to afford in the neighborhood I live in.
You know, I actually was playing there before the Olympics, so they didn't even have a four-lane freeway yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember. Okay, let's get back to your journey through music. What about at school? Did you have any music program in your school?
No, I mean, I did orchestra for a couple of years.
What is?
Because I wanted to play bass.
You mean stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Great.
I kind of got kicked out of that because I would skip I skipped a couple concerts, and the teacher, she freaked out. She was real passionate, and she didn't think I cared enough. And I didn't like going to those concerts. I just wanted to learn how to play bass.
But, yeah, so your first bass is actually the stand-up?
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot of cats. Man, I tried it. It's hard.
I
tried this later on, not as a boy, but, and, yeah.
I ended up with a bow in orchestra, but we even had a stand-up bass on one of our songs on the last record.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I had to get Sean Lennon to do it for me, because it's hard, like, finding the notes without, like, the tape on it and stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's why fucking Leo called the P bass the precision, because it had frets.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? Yeah, that's where that name comes from. He played a little piano. He didn't actually play, but we are all in debt to him. Here, I want to play Electric Spider Webs. Thank you.
zagri se do krvi. Počupati si nokte, uništi tijelo do kraja, da ostane samo snaga. Uništi tijelo do kraja, da ostane samo snaga. Vidi mi ti ja tako vrišti, stvarno je ne uništil. Snaga životinska, oči gdje se manija snaga. Pojačana bistrina osjećaja. Osjećam se skroz živ, ježim se, kidam, lupam, plešem i skačem, veselim se, bucim i kaosu bez laži. I razbijeni su oblaci.
Vidi mi gdje ja tako vrištim, stvarno je ne uništim. Saga životinska, oči je sveta.
did you have to gain? You started just like us, but then you broke our trust.
Tommy Lee. He's in the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. Or Country Music Hall of Fame.
You're talking not the butt rock drummer man.
Yeah, not the butt rock guy. This guy, he's been in bands forever, and that was his garage band in the 60s. They were called the Electric Spiderwebs, so it's kind of our
OGM. Okay. You know where garage is big? Spain.
Where? Oh, yeah, Spain, they're wild about it.
Ain't that a trip?
Crazy about
it. Yeah, ain't that a trip? So, yeah, Electric Spiderwebs from Black Lips. So that's kind of like a tribute to him, huh?
Yeah, he does the karaoke at this honky-tonk that's here. It's like the last one left in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
But he's a good buddy of ours, and he's been in bands forever. He was actually telling me the other day, because he was in, you know, in the 70s, like Southern Rockers, they would tour the South with, like, the New York Dolls and stuff. And I was like, how the hell did y'all wear, like, gold lamé pants and high-heel shoes, like, in South Georgia in the 70s. And he was telling me this story about just these girls invited them over to the trailer after a show. They played with the Dolls, and then the girl's boyfriend or something showed up, thought they were all girls, and he realized they were dudes and stuck a gun in Tommy's mouth and told him not to come back.
Whoa.
Because, I mean, even when I was a kid around here, it's not so much anymore, but when I was a kid, it was even, you know, if you had a mohawk or a leather jacket, you were, might get beat up, definitely going to get called a fag about 40 times.
Yeah. We had a little, we even had a little of that here. It was more like, fuck you, Devo.
Yeah, it was kind of like,
I talked to Martin.
It was either the rednecks were going to beat you up or the skinheads. We had a really bad skinhead problem here.
Ours was more jocks. Oh, yeah, you know, the first time Minutemen played Atlanta, we got invited to a cable TV show, and this guy had an electric chair like Alice Cooper. And it was a summer tour, so we thought it'd help if we cut our heads bald. We did a little bit. But anyway, this guy thought we were part of some Nazi skinhead thing. And
oh, man, it was
we had
nasty,
to tell him
man.
No.
Me and Cole both got beat up. I got my cheekbone fractured by some of them. We called them boneheads, the Nazi ones.
Fuckheads. Okay. Let's back to your music. You're in doing stand-up bass in the orchestra. What about bands on the side, like at home, in the garage, in the bedroom, that shit?
Well, me and Cole, what we got into, like, kind of, I knew that I wanted to, like, kind of get into punk, and I had heard of, like, Sex Pistols and things, but then we saw the decline of Western civilization. One of our friends' older brothers had it, and that was when I was, like, after I saw the Germs, like, we got to start a band. So we actually started a band before we knew how to play, like, you know, classic trope. And we got a show booked, and it was more performance art, like a lot of puking and nudity.
Yeah.
And we played this warehouse, and we actually got the people in a lot of trouble because one kid from our school came and got really wasted, and his mom followed him there and hired a detective to, like, because it was a legal warehouse space, and that was a really bad look on our part for, like, our debut show.
Oh, man. Were you called Black Lips?
We were called the Renegades, but okay. It was me and Cole. It was kind of the same idea. It was, like, we wanted to mix, like, Link Ray and, like, Van Morrison with, like, you know, Germs and Stooges kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it all comes out of that. And, you know, Little Richard wore fucking high heels.
Yeah.
You know, it's a trip how... Yeah, it's a trip how rock and roll got so fucking square, John.
Yeah, he's the like, you want to talk about being, you have to be a true weirdo to be into that back then. And, like, now weird, like, it's cool to be weird, but that was downright dangerous what he was doing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I played a Nautica in Amarillo, in, you know, these indoor swimming pools, and he... 1958, took his shirt off during the gig. They arrested him.
Oh,
taking
shit.
His fucking shirt off. A bunch of idiots. So that first gig was kind of a, yeah. Was it scary? Was it fun? How'd you feel besides all that shit?
It was super fun. Like, you know, I think we just all snuck out of the house and went there, and yeah, it was a blast.
And what about the tunes? What were the tunes? A lot of originals?
Yeah. They were pretty bad, but, like, they were kind of there. It was all, like, kind of 1-4-5s that we just kind of screamed over.
Yeah, but you weren't just trying to copy songs off records. I mean, there was a lot of that shit when I was young in the 70s.
Oh, no, we never really did any covers. I think we covered Gloria for a minute, but it was really crappy, so we felt it was, like, disrespectful.
Yeah, okay. So after that, what, like, man, I like this. You guys go record?
Yeah, we recorded, but then halfway during the recording session of our first 45,
yeah,
I got kicked out of school and I got arrested a couple times. So before we could finish the 45, I got sent to the wilderness in Montana for 6 months.
Whoa.
It was like kind of like it was a ranch you worked on then for 3 months, and 3 months you just walked around the wilderness and wiped your ass with snow.
Whoa.
And then when I came back, I was supposed to go to a halfway house, but I was almost 18, so I just moved into this punk house. It was like 10 of us at this punk house we called Dice Slaughter House, and that's when Black Lips started.
You're talking in Montana?
Well, I got back from Montana.
Oh, okay, when you got back. Yeah, I'm the punk house, right, like 10 guys living in a pad. And so what? Did you complete the recording?
They finished it without me. And then when I got back, we were 17 and...
Oh, so that record was a Renegades record?
No, this was the first Blacklist record.
Okay. But they finished it without you.
I just booked a tour through basically message boards. There's this thing called Book Your Own Fucking Life, and then you find people in Maximum Rock and Roll.
Yeah, they put out that book, right?
Yeah, so that's how, and then we just booked our first tour.
Yeah, what was that like?
For a 17-year-old, it was the funnest shit ever, but looking back, it was pretty terrible. I mean, we slept in the van every night, ate at homeless shelters.
What kind of van?
It was a Chevy, it wasn't an express van, it was like a Chevy, like, family van. But
Beauville. I remember they had the Beauville.
Converted for, like, a wheelchair to be in there, so it was, like, a ton of room. We just built it out, like, a loft and everything.
Oh, okay, they're handicapped. Yeah, never had too good luck with Chevys, a lot of pesos. How big of a tour was it? Was it a couple months? Was it big, baby?
No, the first one was like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because we'd go on tour for 3 weeks and have to come home and work to save up money to go on tour.
Sure. I know that deal. did you do the figure out the big loop thing? Like in springtime, you know, you want to maybe go counterclockwise so you get out of the south before it's too sweaty, wait for the north to thaw.
We weren't smart enough to do, like, some of our tours were just booked, like, hourglass-shaped. Just wherever we could get a show.
San Diego to Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
Miami to the other Portland.
Oh, man, yeah. We had some nasty drivers.
Backtrack. Well, you know, in the real old days, like, when we toured with Flag and stuff, you didn't have a lot of options. The scene was so small. Actually, it was the other rock and rollers that really gave us fucking shit, you know, whatever, the real rock and roll, right? Because punk wasn't real rock and roll to these people. So you ended up playing a lot of discos and ethnic places and stuff. So you had to do crazy-ass route. And I remember Philly, speaking of Atlanta, Philly to LA, you'd have to leave after you played to make the sound check the next night.
Yeah, dude, that sucks.
It really does. It really does. So... as the touring went on, I figured out this. Actually, I was just looking back at vaudeville, you know, and what they did. And basically, that's what you're doing. You're working the towns. So I want you to tell me about this new record here. How is it different from, like, back then? Well, for one thing, it's got Sean Leonard, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, it's a real nice studio.
Is it his upstate New York?
Yeah, up in the Catskills.
Yeah, right.
Really beautiful place, but I mean, this one we had kind of a new lineup.
Yeah, it's you and Cole and other cats, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of been me and Cole's,
sure,
like, you know, we're the core thing. But with this one, it's the first time where we had, like, all the time at our hands that we wanted, because we were living at Sean's place, and it's real secluded. Like, you know, you'd lose track of what day it was. I never had my phone on me or a wallet. So that was cool. It was just like, it was 100%.
More focus. Yeah, big focus. You know what? I forgot to talk about the other song. James Williamson, Pink Hearts, brand new, This Garden, Garage in July, guided by Voices, King Flute, Black Lips, another one from the new album. Lucid Nightmare, what's that?
That was from our old guitar player, Jack. He was only in the band for that. Well, he was on the second record and then this last one, but he had too many kids, so he had to stop.
Yeah. You know, Dee Dee wrote songs for the Ramones after he was out of the band.
Yeah, I heard he did that. Ain't that
a trip?
We're kind of always open for that. Like, we're always pretty collaborative.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you've even had past members come back and leave. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, open door policy, maybe.
Sure. No bridges burned. Carla Bozulich with One Hard Man, Smokey Emery, brand new, Bright Keys, Hell Beans, brand new, No Skin Off My Teeth, and then Wayne, Black Lips. Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Is that our buddy, song. Wayne? In Oklahoma?
It's about Wayne Williams. He was this Atlanta serial killer, allegedly. No one knows.
Oh, shit. I think
they're sure that he definitely did two of the murders.
Uh-huh.
But I think at that time, it was a pretty corrupt police force, and they pinned like 33 on him. But it was like a year before I was born, but it was like the news would be like, it's 6 p.m., do you know where your children are? So I think it was something like 35, 36 kids got killed in the span of, I don't know, 6 months. And so it was like pretty terrifying. It was kind of ripping the city apart because some people thought it was like the KKK doing it.
Wow.
And I think they just got this guy. He might have been a patsy.
To take the fall.
Like, clear, yeah, you know. But no one knows. And he's a bizarre guy, so he didn't help himself out. I think he blew his case for a retrial by saying that he was a CIA agent and all this weird stuff.
Well, maybe he had mental problems.
He definitely had mental problems.
I mean, not to laugh about it, but okay, so that's an insight in a way. So you have a lot of guests on this one, which is different. But then, and then being out in the woods like that, focus. So in a way, it was much, much different. What's the title mean?
Oh, I saw it on, you know, when you pass churches and they have those weird messages on the outside. Like,
yeah.
I saw that one on some church in North Georgia when I was driving. I would have loved to have known what that sermon was about. Is that, will you be Satan's graffiti or will you be God's art?
Or God's graffiti and Satan's art. It is a trippy thing. But it figures that would be something off one of those little marquees. Yeah.
Yeah, some of those are wild. I'd like to put together a photo book and just...
Because you know they're trying to be provocative, right?
A little bit, but you know what's funny? My dad played it at the church the other day and had the graphic up on the screen, so it can't be that provocative.
Good point. So your pop's still in doing this? Okay,
happening.
Well, he kind of is. He used to. My family kind of is credited with starting the mega church, like the Paulks and the Swillies. My dad had, you know, a 5,000 person church, and in 2011 or 12.
Wow.
He told me that he was gay, and I convinced him to come out to the congregation. He did it on camera.
That's bitching.
And everybody left. So he went from about 5,000 to now he has about 50. But he's happier, and he's married to a guy that
But it's in the open, right? Jesus.
Yeah.
It's happening. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 25, 2018 edition of Wild for Pedro Show. I'm my special guest, Jared. Hold tight for hour two. June 25, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Time and the time that goes by, and if I'm ready, then
What's bigger than the plan? Yeah, some yeah.
Watch for Pedro show started the second hour off with Black Lips, the new album. In My Mind, There's a Dream. And then M.B. Jones with Bigger Than the Planet Earth, Vasco Adonisowski, Dobar Zivot. Black Lips, new album, Occidental Front. Escaping All Schools from Instituto No. Anthems of the Void with Lost News from the Endless Sea. And finally, Interlude Bongos by Blackwood. Yeah, I want to ask you about the process. So, you guys did you bring in songs?
We kind of, I mean, we had a bunch. We always, like, I always kind of got some on reserve.
Yep.
And we had a bunch that were ready, but we went up, I went up like a week or two early just to hang out at Sean's house, and we just, it was neat. We'd never done that before because, you know, usually it's, we're worried about time and money and all that stuff. But this one, you know, we're just hanging out at his house. So we were able to like flesh out a bunch of things. And he's really, he just, I mean, obviously he knows his shit so well because, you know, he grew up in that. So he's, it's great when I'm having, when I'm stumped on a song or like going through the process, he's really good. Like knows all of music theory and all that kind of stuff and can, you know, he helped us just like work out some stuff I was stuck on.
So when you went earlier, did you make like little demos?
Yeah, we had some, we had like, I had some crappy like GarageBand demos.
Uh-huh.
And we would just sit there and listen to those and you'd be like, all right, this one, let's work on this one. Let's figure out where to put a bridge and a chorus and all this stuff.
Right. For example, In My Mind, There's a Dream.
Yeah, that one, it was just a real rough demo and, we had our friend Saul from that band Fat White Family. He was up there. He started playing like harpsichord, and so then that we kind of wrote it around like the harpsichord part.
He's a guitar guy, right?
I think he has guitar and I think organ and stuff.
Okay.
And actually, after we saw Cole change the chorus, I guess he watched the Stooges documentary, and that like inspired them to like want to make a more powerful chorus, and then it came back.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's pretty good. You're in.
Yeah, I remember Jim Jarmusch talking to me twice, and I could tell that he loved Stooges, so I trust him. But it's always scary to see those things.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, so that's it. Must have been something that got set to fucking want to change a tune. All right. I wonder what tune he was thinking of, or just the whole piece?
I don't know if it was just in general he got inspiration. I don't know. I don't think it was a song. I think it was just he just wanted something that hit harder, and that like after seeing that, he was like, "Oh yeah, Stooges are badass. Let's do something more like that."
You know, I got to do 125 months with him.
Yeah.
What about this tune, "Squatting in Heaven"? I want to play that next.
Thank you.
Watson Pedro Show. Yeah. Squat in Heaven from Black Lips, brand new record. Mole Omen, Regretful Snake Pose. Frantics, My Dad's a Fucking Alcoholic. Rebel Intuition, Black Lips. New album. Lucy Leave with Christchurch Tower. The Doers, Parties in the Kitchen. And finally, Loser's Lament from Black Lips. Loser's Lament.
Yeah, that's kind of we kind of have a muse of a good friend of ours who passed away some years ago, but he always keeps popping up onto our albums. He was kind of like our spirit animal. So we have like a ton of songs that are inspired by him or loosely based on him. He was kind of a loser, but I mean that in the best possible way, like a lovable loser.
Yeah, like an endearment. Okay. This is John Coltrane's song called Lonnie's Lament. Made me think of that. What about Squatting in Heaven? Is that
that's kind of a jab. That's kind of a jab. That's kind of a jab at my neighbors. Like,
okay.
None of them like me, and I'm kind of like the. I used to be afraid of all the neighbors when I first moved here. I don't know if I. There's good and bad. Like, the new neighbors aren't going to smash up my car because it used to be this kind of like. It's a mill town. I live around. It used to be a cotton mill, so all these houses were built for the workers. So it was, they imported all these people from the Appalachian Mountains. So it was kind of weird because Atlanta is a majority black city, but it was like this white ghetto, like right in the, and a very insular. Like you didn't go in or out. It was kind of like Deliverance right in smack in the middle of the city.
Wow.
And now I'm the pariah in the neighborhood. Like, a lot of the neighbors don't say hi to me and my girlfriend.
It's real square.
Yeah, real. They're like those, like, kind of, like, uptight liberals.
Yeah. Square junk.
They're almost like, they remind me of the people in the, like, they shouldn't be living in the suburbs, like, if it wasn't cool to live in the city now.
Right. Well, you know, they got that big belt around Atlanta, and they're filling that up. There's going to be suburbs. In fact, I would call Marietta and Smyrna kind of suburbs.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I mean? They used to be, in the old days when I toured, they were very distinct, different. And it's,
oh, yeah, Marietta was definitely like, that was like a town, like with its own square and everything
right.
like that.
It's kind of melted.
Now it's all kind of like morphed all together.
Yeah, a lot of more. What about this tune, The Rebel Intuition?
That was actually Jack, our old guitar player. That was the name of one of his high school bands. They were called Rebel Intuition, and
such a bizarre term.
I think they were like a rockabilly band or something.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And so this another tune that was brought in from a guitar man.
Yeah.
Okay. So your little reservoir, you guys can go. Well, the whole idea is the Black Lip feel, right? The treatment.
Yeah,
because you have such a strong identity in this. And it's not even a, I would say, style. It's a feel, because you guys actually do a lot of different kinds of things. But I can tell it's a Black Lips right away. So that's a really good thing.
Sweet.
Oh, I didn't get to ask you about Occidental Front. That's another strange term.
Oh, that's, I never knew. I didn't know Occidental was the opposite of Oriental. Somehow we were talking about that in the studio, and for some reason, I kept laughing a bunch because it seemed like I never heard of it. But it was kind of, you know, Fred Cole from Dead Moon?
Sure.
He had a band in the 80s called the Western Front.
Yeah.
And Dead Moon's like one, Fred Cole's like, I've always been one of my heroes.
Toadie.
And a kind of homage to Fred and Tootie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what I've learned is, especially older cats, Asian guys, they don't like that word Oriental.
Oh, yeah. I know that. That's why I was laughing so much, because I was like, so should I be offended if someone calls me Occidental? I think we had smoked a joint, and it was silly, but at the time I was like cracking up about it.
Yeah, I think it was from the days like British Empire or some shit. But my buddy, Mr. Kim, he has this liquor store, and he's, I'm an Asian man. I am not Oriental. He just hates that word. I think there's some kind of baggage with that word. Yeah. So you'd just being oh, okay, a little contrary. So, do the words come first?
Sometimes. Like with like that song Wayne, I always like to write stuff about Georgia. Like I wrote a song about our old mascot for the Braves. And so I'll be like, I want to write a song about Wayne Williams because it's like a murder ballad kind of thing.
Okay.
And I'll just start digging around with that. But sometimes the music, I mean, it really just depends. I actually have a lot of times with me, it's the music verse because I have a real hard time with lyrics.
Okay.
I'm a real slow writer when it
comes to... But what you're saying is you need like a focus thing to grab on first. I'm kind of like that with the song titles.
I'm not good at like writing abstract things.
Well, I know most people, they put the title on last. I almost always have to start with the title so I know where the words and the music are going to go.
I kind of tend to be the same way. I have to have a theme. I write a lot of story songs and stuff about things or people.
And what about rhyming? Does it matter to you?
Not really. As long as I care more about like the syllables and like how it flows. I know you're supposed to do like ABAB or AABB, AABB. I don't understand how all that works really.
Yeah, Jared, so. I don't know about that because look at Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. There's no rhyming in that.
Yeah, see, as long as it sounds good coming out, that's all I really care about.
Yeah, right. And sometimes you force the rhyme, it gets kind of cornball.
Yeah, it starts sounding like Dr. Seuss or something.
I will not eat them. In a boat?
I will sail my boat in a moat. Take it to my boat.
We're at the end of the second hour, June 25, 2018 edition. What? Pedro Show special guest Jared. Hold tight for hour three. June 25, 2018 is the third hour of the What? Pedro Show.
והשקיעה משייפת את השמשה הקדמית של לבן וכל המדבר יומי מרחב צלול הזמן הוא לא עניין איך ידענו לא לטמון ידיים בכיסים? איך ידענו להיכנע לדבר הזה? בערבים היינו עוצרים בשולי הדרך ומבירים אש. היתושים סחרו בדם כמו בממתקים ולא היה לנו כסף, אז לא התקלחנו. בלילה המסעיות הרעידו את האדמה עליה שכבנו, והרפל השחר כיסה אותנו כמו סמיכת פור. רצינו להגיע לנקודה הכי צפונית ביבשת ולגעת בים. זמן לא היה עניין. הירות עשויות אבק חלפו פה בחלום. ואיתי מצאנו למלא דלק ולקנות סיגריות. ופעם כמעט הלכנו קנגורו שהתפרץ לכביש. זמן לא היה העניין. מדי כמה שעות עברה מולנו מכונית, וניר תקף אצבע מהעגל עוד שלום. גם הנהג השני עשה כך.
baby. You got me real good. Real good tonight.
Yeah.
Pedro show, we start off the third hour with Black Lips, new album. It won't be long. What about that, Jared?
That one was all Sean's idea. Like, I never in a million years would I be like, hey, can we cover one of your dad's songs?
Yeah.
He wanted us to do, like, we did it originally, the the way the Beatles did it, but it sounded, aside from the voices, just like them. You know, I mean, they sing way better, obviously. So then we decided we wanted to make it like darker or spookier.
You guys sing good. I like the way you sing. You know, I'll tell you about covering the song experience I had with the Sonic Youth. They literally put the record on you, played it a fucking record.
You know what I mean? They just play along to the record.
Yeah, they play along, so the tempo and all that exactly the same. They just take the record out, you know, at the end of the day. But I remember they had me do some Kim Fowley tune off his Frankenstein album called
I love that record.
Bubblegum, yeah. And
So
is the drummer, Steve Shelley. He's playing the fucking record. And I'm looking at Thursday, you going to play with? I'll play later. Okay.
One, doing it won't be long, that was like kind of surreal. You know, where Yoko Ono's there and Sean, and I think Cole was playing through John Lennon's old amp.
Wow.
So that was like, I think I called my dad after that and told him about that because, you know, he's the one that got me into the Beatles.
Well, how did this connect happen, Jared, with Sean?
We met him through, we were doing a record with Mark Ronson and we needed a theremin player. And Mark was like, oh yeah, my friend Sean plays theremin, I'll have him come in. And then I was like, holy shit, that's Sean Lennon. And then we just kind of stayed in touch after that. And he was doing a record for the Fat White Family up there. And they asked Cole if he would come up and do some guitar. And they were just talking. Cole was like, yeah, we don't really have anywhere to record the next record. And he was like, oh, just come up here and do it. I'd love to. Because he handpicks like whoever gets to come up there. And
oh, yeah, I know.
It was like, fuck
yeah. I
got
a buddy named Niles Klein, and he's recorded up there.
Yeah, it's a great spot. I was ecstatic when I found out we could go up there and do that.
After that, we had the Far of the South with And Time Is Not an Issue. Then White Denim, Pretty Green. Black Lips, Got Me All Alone. Comment?
That was just... when people were doing vocals or doing other takes.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different rooms there, so we just started jamming and... I guess Cole had like a little mini four track that was recording, and I didn't even know we were doing all those interludes and stuff like that.
Yeah, bongo interlude.
Yeah. It's like kind of like an anti-concept album.
Well, I remember that's like the second Wipers album when, you know, Youth of America, like it's all one side. It was like, what? It's okay to do shit like that, you know? Let the freak flag fly. Happy, a demo from the Vandal Poets, Afternoon Freak with On Pluto, There's a Nice Park. I got to do that with the first live thing with them last week in New York City. And Black Lips, Come Ride With Me. Comments?
That's just one of Cole's. He kind of verges on hip-hop sometimes. That's like his kind of take on that.
Yeah.
He actually, when he does his solo stuff, he raps, and it's pretty hilarious. I mean, it's his version of it, but...
Speaking of which, we lost Jalal, you know, Lightning Rod, Hustlers Convention, a couple weeks ago. Much respect. I remember first seeing, hearing Last Poets, that Mick Jagger, what was it called, performance? He's like a gangster rock star or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, man, I never heard of that. They shook me up a little bit. I want to play the last cold a second. What did you use for most of the bass on this? Did you use a little Hagstrom?
No, I was using a Hofner.
That's what I meant. The Beatle basses, right?
Yeah, Paul McCartney bass.
Yeah, I got one of those. It's made in China. It was only under $250, but to do a tour with Terra Falco, I really like it. It weighs like 3 pounds. It's got 10 little flat wounds.
Yeah, I play mine with flat wounds.
Yeah.
I did it.
I think LaBella makes a set just for it.
Yeah, I just got that because it was the cheap guitar at Guitar Center, and then I just stuck with it. I was like, all right, this is going to be my signature because it's cheap and it's light. And I actually, after 10 years or so of loyalty, Hofner opened a they brought me like a German one, like the real one, Chicago.
Wow, because they're like $2,400.
Yeah, and I spent... like 6 months chasing after Delta trying to get them to replace it, but never would.
Damn. Anyway, the bass sounds real good. Hagstrom is that Swedish cup. Pat Smear likes Hagstroms.
Yeah, oh, yeah? 50 of them. Those are pretty good, too. That would be that or Fender Bronco would be
I think Jimmy played on Electric Ladyland some Hagstrom. Okay, but let's listen to Last Cul-de-Sac.
On the track and into our lives, fishing in the skates, flashy uniforms and pads, driven by music, roar of the crowd. But during the day, they go back through roles, mothers and bartenders, computer techs and students, women enjoying life and living it to the fullest, heroines in the game, tough girls in the fight, ladies by day, victims by night. I love these women from their helmets to their roller skates, working by day, jamming and blocking, scoring in night flight, living their lives. Victims by night.
Huh. Yeah. Adams on the highway. And he looked at me and he said, "So, you're a miserable man." And he had a bag of magic beans.
Walk from Pedro Show, yeah, cul-de-sac, Black Lips. Jared can give us some insight.
That was like, you know, because in the suburbs, you know, you grew up in a lot of cul-de-sacs, and there's this one house who there was kind of some, there was a house where the children had no supervision, so we have parties and shows in the basement. We called it the shit pit, and it was basically no rules. Like, all the neighbors hated that family and the parents and no supervision, but it was, that was like our, you know, about our like high school years, just like fucking shit up in the suburbs.
Yeah. Cut the shit and start the pit. And then Joe Burr with Vixens by Night, SS Space Systems, Black Ant on Hosta Blossom, and the Crystal Knight, Black Lips. Crystal Knight.
Yeah, I wanted to write a love song about like people losing their love, and but I was trying to think of the most heart wrenching thing ever, because I like those, like, you know, Ronettes. They have like Leader of the Pack, the guy dies and she loses them. But I was like, what's the most tragic thing I could write about? And it's like about a Gentile being separated from a Jew, like during the pogroms. And I was like, yeah, that's
Crystal Knock. Crystal Knock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a fucked up thing. Okay.
I was just thinking of, like, the saddest song I could write, and that was,
you know, it's a heavy song? You know Suicide, that song Frankie Teardrop?
Yeah, what's that one? I love that song. What's that one?
It's heavy. That is a heavy song. There's something about sadness, you know, just as a mover of feeling, you know. Crimey.
Yeah, emotion. And, like, if I'm going to write something super sad, I want it to sound super pretty.
Yeah, yeah. You know that album Berlin, right? There's songs like The Kids or The Bed. I mean, it's fucking terrible.
But I always heard this thing that Lou Reed did. Like, he, like, the producer told, he wanted a really good crying sound, so they
Bob Ezrin.
The engineer's kids that, like, their mom died or something,
yeah,
and they
right.
recorded the crying.
I heard that George Clinton did that to Eddie Hazel for Maggot Brain.
Oh, okay. I've always heard that. I didn't know if it was like an urban legend or not.
Well, who knows, you know. I heard of you, you know, producers, I don't know, what was your experience with Sean, you know? They're trying to do things to get stuff out of you. I don't think it's always bad, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like being pushed real hard. Like, Sean would make me do take after take after take, which I'm glad.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Right, I heard about the bat scene with Shelley Duvall. It was like buttloads of fucking takes.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm beating Jack in the face with a fucking bat. And we got Oswald Dovey and Andrea Roten with Bubo Bubo, Butterfly Bones from Four Dimensional Nightmare, and finally, finale from Black Lips with those unknown interludes. Man, it's been great having you on the show. Look, if a young person getting into this stuff asks for advice, what would you tell them, Jared?
Getting into don't quit. Like, I mean, it's something that if you're not 150% into it, then, you know, it has to be something you're passionate about, because it's hard. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to get a return on it. You know, it's, you've succeeded if you can quit your day job, but it's gonna it took me 7 or 8 years to lose a day job. And yeah, it's a lot of, you have to eat a lot of shit. Deal with a lot of shit.
Good advice. Good advice. Well lived advice. I want to thank you so much for being on. And I want you guys to keep on keeping on. You
can pull
whatever form you need. And what you did here with Sean was bitching. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. Thank you so much.
And when you get your new thing down the road. Let's talk again, okay?
Oh, yeah, we're almost done with the next one.
Jesus, you're like Bob Pollard. Okay, it's been June 25, 2018 edition of Off for Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.